And we would have discussions together in the fellowship. And if you said something wrong, you heard about it. He would correct it in front of everyone. And you know what that did for me, though? It made me be really careful that I knew what I was talking about and wanting to study and make sure I knew it. And so I just say that because I want to encourage you, brethren, this is a time we especially need the truth. And we need to insist on hearing the truth and be careful in preaching it ourselves. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, I want to read verses 17 through 24, and it might help to have your Bible open there to be looking at this passage. The message is, as the truth is in Jesus. Now we know that all truth is in Jesus. In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. But this passage, well, because of the lateness of the hour, I'll just blurt it all out. The truth that is in Jesus has to do with the truth, the body of truth associated with walking in Jesus. Now, this whole chapter is talking about how we live. The hallmark of someone who is born again is that they live differently. That is the signal virtue of anyone who is in Christ. They don't live like they used to live. And so the truth that is in Christ Jesus calls us to walk and follow Jesus and live holy lives. So in the beginning of chapter 4, he said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you have received. And then in verse 17 here, it says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness or with a continual passion for more. And then he said, but ye have not so learned Christ. Hey man, isn't that good? You've learned Christ. How did you learn Christ? If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him. Amen. As the truth is in Jesus. And what did Jesus teach us? That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of the mind, of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Now think of what this world is like. He says, don't live any longer like the Gentiles live. He said they have the vanity of their minds. Their understanding is darkened. The ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart and their past feeling are calloused. People in this world don't think right. And how you think determines how you live. Their whole understanding is darkened in this world. They talk about their great minds and intellects in this world. Well, they don't even know there's a God that made them. They're darkened. They're ignorant. They're blind. And if you live for self and for this world, you're just walking right alongside them as ignorant and darkened and blind. What does that say for those who would live worldly, who don't have any interest in living godly? It says that they're blind. Because of what we know, we live differently.
Amen.
People live as they do because of how they think. The world lives for selfish pursuit, and you might say it's because they don't know any better. Their mind is vain, their understanding is dark, their heart is blind. That's why they live as they do. But you have been not so learned Christ. That's not how you learned Christ. We have been taught by Jesus. And the characteristic of the people of God is that they have understanding. Now, the people, rebellious people, are consistently noted as lacking understanding. People of no understanding. Those who have eyes and see not, and ears and hear not. They're without understanding. God said, "My people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They're wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. They're just ignorant. But you have not so learned Christ." And it says we have learned Christ, and we have heard him, and been taught by him. Jesus is a teacher. We learn Christ by him calling us and teaching us himself. Amen. Think about that. Stop for just a minute and just think about this. Jesus teaches us individually. You have not so learned Christ, as if so be you have heard him and been taught by him. So Jesus was a teacher. He went in all their villages and cities teaching in their synagogues. He was teaching in the temple. He was teaching out in the wilderness. He was teaching his disciples. He told his disciples to go out and teach. He said, "Go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I've commanded you." Jesus is a teacher, a good teacher. And we have been taught by him. The incredible thing is that God himself, Jesus, in the person of Jesus, speaks and teaches each of his disciples. He is a good shepherd. Amen. We hear the voice of the Son of God when we are dead, and those that hear live. We hear his voice. That's the starting point. You're not in Christ unless you've heard Jesus. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. We were dead. We had to be called out of the grave. Amen. So Jesus spoke to us. And then he's a good shepherd. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." He's talking about each one. We know his voice. If Jesus doesn't teach you, you're not his sheep. And you're not his disciple. Jesus said, "Other sheep have I." He was talking about the Gentiles, which are not of this fold. "Them also must I bring in, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd." We have heard his voice. I know we can acknowledge this in our doctrines, but really, come to terms with this. Let it grasp your heart. We each have fellowship with Jesus. Don't neglect it, brethren. So think about this. In Hebrews 1, it said, "God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son." He's speaking to us. God is speaking to us by his Son. And so later on, or three times in Hebrews, he said, "If you hear his voice, harden not your hearts." We have heard him and have been taught by him. And he said to the church at Laodicea, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, hear my voice. And open the door, I will come into him." He's calling out, even to the rebellious, to the lukewarm, he's calling out. Can you hear his voice tonight, brethren?
Amen.
Can you look back on the time when Jesus first called you? We don't want to attribute this to flesh and blood. God could use a godly minister, a godly friend, godly family to tell you the word of God. But really, ultimately, when your heart is touched, it's because Jesus spoke to you. Praise God for that. He's giving us the truth. And this is in part fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, "All thy children shall be taught of the Lord." Now, in the Old Testament, there was the high priest. There was the holiest place. No one went in there but once a year. And then there was the high priest. Then there were the other priests. And then there were Levites and the rest of the people. Way out, far away. But he said, "All thy children shall be taught of God." There's just like this direct interaction with God himself. That's what God was going to do. And it was impossible until Christ came and put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And then he brought us to God. This is the essence of Christianity, is we know Jesus. We walk with God. We hear his voice. This is not just about adopting a set of doctrines or a lifestyle. This is about knowing Jesus. Amen. Please don't miss it. We're all taught of God. God teaches everyone, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So they're taught of God. God teaches people to come to Jesus, and then Jesus teaches them personally. It said in Micah, "In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's, of the house of the Lord, shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths." He will teach us of his ways. Amen. God himself. It's the new covenant. "They shall all know me from the least to the greatest." Personal knowledge of God himself through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And by the Holy Spirit. To the Thessalonians, Paul said, "You don't need for me to write to you about loving each other because God teaches you. You're taught of God to love one another." 1 Thessalonians 4:9. And it is by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would pray the Father and he would send another comforter that he might abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. See, they're blind. It seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, did you catch this little twist? He said, "I'm going to send you the comforter." And he said, "I'm coming to you." So Jesus is come to dwell in us by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And this is how he teaches us. Jesus said, "When the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, comes, he will teach you all things." Amen. And we've received the Spirit not of the world, but of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And we speak things not which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. So God is in the teaching business, and if you're learning from Jesus, you're becoming more godly. You're becoming more like Him. That's the whole purpose. And then we have that anointing. The anointing teaches you all things and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. And Jesus also teaches us by other ministers. Hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So I want a couple other points I want to make. I know it's getting late, but the truth is learned. Jesus, it said, you have not so learned Christ. It's learned. It's not just simple and limited so that it could be told. We haven't been told Christ. We've learned Christ. It's learned. We do not naturally know it. We have to learn it, or Him. And He teaches us according to the truth that is in Christ Jesus. So the truth that is in Jesus are the general principles and nature of the gospel and instructions for those who are in Jesus, the body of Christ. The truth that is in Jesus is all going in one direction. It's like the body of truth. It's not like one truth, but it's all consistent. It's all going one direction. It's like a giant river flowing all in one direction. The truth that is in Jesus requires you to abandon the former way of life, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And that's the essence of it. When Jesus comes and speaks, this is what He's calling. Take up your cross and follow Me. This is what He's teaching us. If people are claiming the name of Christ and yet just living in sin, living in ungodly ways, not growing in faith, they are not learning from Jesus. You have not so learned Christ. The true church is a holy church. Amen. Made holy by Jesus and then in the process of being sanctified. Amen. Driving the Canaanites out of the land. So if we look at this world, the conclusion is ignorance leads to fleshly living, and understanding the truth that is in Jesus leads to holy living. If you really understand it. And it's not just knowing what we ought to do. Understanding the truth means we see why and want to live so as to please and be like Jesus. That's a completely different story. I see who I am in Him. I see where I'm going. But mostly, I see Him whom my soul loveth.
Amen.
When you see Him, you want to be like Him. And we are changed from glory to glory as we behold Him. The new covenant appeals to a new heart for godly living. And I want, this is just one last thing I want to talk about, is the difference between the old covenant and new covenant. When He's calling us to godly living, under the old covenant, the priests were told to teach the people to obey the commands of the Lord. The teaching had to do with obeying the commands of the Lord. In the new covenant, He says, put off your former conversation and put on your new. There's nothing like that under the old covenant. He's made us new creatures, and so He says, put off the old and put on the new. And in association with that, there's all kinds of teaching. You look at every instruction for us in the New Testament for how to live. It's accompanied by a lot of teaching about why, so that our understanding is fruitful. So So the new covenant appeals to a new heart. New covenant is about enlightenment and corrected thinking. Isaiah said, prophesied about a time when they that erred in spirit shall come to understanding. Amen. And Jeremiah, God said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The new covenant is characterized by understanding. And it started when Jesus opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So it is not like the old. God says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So what's the difference? Understanding. The horse and the mule, you have to use the bit and the bridle to make them do what you want them to do. But those with understanding, he can just guide you with his eye. You see something that pleases God, then you're right there. You want to do it. You see something that displeases God, you avoid that. Amen. That's what new covenant obedience is about. Commands and exhortations to righteous living are accompanied by much teaching so that the understanding is fruitful. In understanding, we want to be men. So the truth that is in Christ Jesus is all about godly living. Paul talked about the truth which is after godliness. Godliness. There's nothing more contradictory to the essence of the gospel than for someone to claim to be a disciple and be worldly or casual about sin. He's called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Amen. Jesus loves righteousness and hates iniquity. And if we're his, we do too. We hate it. Amen. We hate sin. Amen. He saved his people. He came to save his people from their sin. Amen. He said to the one, when Jesus offered forgiveness, he said, go and sin no more. And if we've been dead to sin, how shall we live any longer therein? That is the call that is in accordance with the truth that is in Christ Jesus. And so, brethren, I urge you to put off the old, the former conversation, and put on the new man. That's a whole nother sermon. Please, we welcome your comments, discussion.
Sin, we hate it within us. That's the main thing.
Yes.
When we see or feel or sense sin in us, we hate it. We want to get rid of it.
Amen.
Yes.
You're very correct in that.
Amen.
Thank you. Also, we have not so learned Christ. Paul was just saying that Jesus, he says, speaking of Jesus, gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, I think it's some pastors and some teachers.
Yeah.
All this is for the perfecting of the saints. Right. And then it says, we have not so learned like the world has. We've learned Christ from Christ.
Yes.
Amen.
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 God said, call unto me and I show thee great and mighty things of which thou knowest not.
Uh-huh.
And we couldn't do that if we didn't have this teaching. Because when we taste of this teaching, the heart of a converted person desires to call upon that God to have him show us great and mighty things that we don't know.
Amen.
And he's willing to show us that.
Amen.
He's willing to teach us. Amen. Of himself, of his kingdom, of his son, of himself also.
Yes, amen. Amen. Brother Dan.
The test that I had to take with the work that I do was an open book test. And you would say, really? Well, the reason was because you had to know where to look for the answers. See, so you're not, Jesus is not just loading facts on us. What he's doing is he's correlating all of the scriptures with this person. He magnified the law, made it honorable, so all the things that he's teaching us are interpretation through his own person. It's a very personal touch.
Yes. Amen.
I was also thinking along the same lines because of your comment that the truth that's in Jesus has to be learned.
Amen.
Just an example of that is Jesus himself, when he called all ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So that learning is done with the experience of walking together with him.
Yes. Amen. In the yoke, learning in the yoke. Brother Silas.
I enjoyed what you said, that ignorance leads to ungodly and fleshly living. And I think I've heard some sayings going around that are along the lines of what you don't know will hurt you. But things that you don't know will hurt you. If you don't know the truth, you are in a spot of eternal danger.
Yes.
And I'm thankful that we have been taught the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Al.
I like the way that you contrasted the old and the new covenants. I don't think I've ever heard it said exactly like that, but when you talked about the new covenant, you talked about the putting on the new man, putting off the old man. Now that, of course, we all know about those things, but to see that contrast set side by side like that, that's really good, and that's really, you know, we need to grow up into our understanding of regarding the new man and the old man. I mean, so long as we're in the body, we'll always be able to grow up in this and be more perfect in the expression of this and giving place to the new man, putting off the old man. But he just said put it off. He didn't give you instructions on how to put it off, did he? Or put it on. He said, do it. So that shows that your new creature has intelligence. Your new creature knows how to respond to God's word.
Amen.
Knows how to do it. You just see a lot of these exhortations in the scripture. He just says, do it. You know, and you can say how to do it. He just says, do it. So that's because it's your new creature that's responding.
Amen. Brother Rhett.
That there's such a wide gap between old covenant versus new covenant. When putting on the new self involves so much of looking back at our old self and the old ways, and saying and knowing that those ways no longer make any sense. That's the thought that every Christian must make.
Amen.
And it also boils down to choice that you have to make. You got to get so sick and tired of the way you're living your life that you want to live a different life.
Yes. Yes, and that's what the law does. It's a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It makes us seek Jesus. And then Jesus makes us new. Amen. Brother Aaron.
I love it. Just how the Lord does things is that he teaches us Christ by Christ. And that's yoke learning. So if we draw away from him or look away like Peter did on the water, that's when we don't learn. It's by distance. When we learn when we're close. That's why he would, in the Gospels, it would say he called his disciples unto him. And he's still doing it. That's how we learn. Amen. Is that we draw close. We draw close to him. We fix our eyes on him. And there isn't anything outside of Jesus that's worth learning. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell.
Amen.
Yeah.
So everything of eternal value and treasure is in him.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Mike.
When I speak tomorrow. There are some things that I had thought of that I was going to say that I wasn't really sure about. And I was prompted by this. Brother T.J. was preaching, just offered a prayer to the Lord to, if these things I'm going to say are not quite right, let me know so I don't say it. And you said exactly what I want to say. The Lord answered my prayer through your message, Brother Tim. I'm thankful for that. But also, even while the apostles were still alive, this began to happen when men tried to treat the truth as if it's like their property. Like they have control over it, they can market it, draw attention to themselves with it. But it learned from Jesus, and that's the only place we can get it. You can stand and you can teach me something I don't know, but what you're saying you got from Jesus, and what I'm hearing came from Jesus, and Jesus has to teach it to me as you're speaking. But in addition to that, it's maintained by living in Christ.
Amen.
Yes.
It's not like
Amen.
Once you receive the truth, once you learn something, you stick it in your pocket and it's yours now. It's not like that. Jesus can take it away too.
Yeah.
If you're not living for Him, if you're a person drifting far from Him, then you lose all those things and you have to learn it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So it is all in Christ. Amen. He's the truth. He's the teacher of the truth. It's all in Him.
Yes. If you receive not the love of the truth, it'll be taken. You have to abide in the vine to keep the truth. Brother Nathaniel.
I appreciated how you mentioned towards the end about if you're a new creature, you're going to hate sin and you're going to love righteousness. I think there's an attitude that somehow sin isn't such a big deal because we've been saved by Jesus. And that's not okay with sin.
That's right.
We've been saved so that, or He paid the price so that sin can be put away, that it can be destroyed. So how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there?
Amen.
If really change, you're going to hate sin, you're going to love righteousness.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, God has put a great investment in salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He expects a return on that investment.
Yeah.
And he wants children that bear fruit.
Yes. Amen. Well, it's been a wonderful evening. Thank you, brethren. All your comments. Let's stand together, have a word of prayer.